Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 8 and go through verse 10. Ephesians 4, 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank thee this morning for your goodness and mercy and love. Thankful that you loved us in Christ Jesus. We're also thankful, Lord, that one day years ago that you brought the gospel to us. And you made it effectual by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. You enabled us that we might repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We praise you for this great salvation. Lord, we're so thankful that you not only saved our souls, but you saved our lives from this present evil world. And I would today, Father, that you would help us that we might exalt you and that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. May this be a day that there would be some lost sinner here that would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We know that we're totally dependent upon you for this great salvation. And so, Father, we pray that as we've assembled here as a New Testament Baptist church, that it would be upon our hearts and our minds, Lord, to honor you with our words, with our lips, and all, Lord, that we do, whether singing or praying or preaching. Now, Father, we do thank thee for this country that you let us and allowed us so graciously live in. It was in your purpose, providence, and plan that you let us be a citizen of the United States of America. And we're thankful to be a citizen of such a great country, even though, Lord, we know that there is sin that prevails on every hand, but yet, Lord, we know that the land that you've placed us in. We pray especially for our leaders of our nation. We understand, Lord, that they perhaps don't fully understand that you hold them in your hand. And we know, Lord, that we're engaged now in a conflict there in the Middle East, and we know this is not the end of this, is only the beginning. We don't necessarily mean of this war, but we mean of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us that we might keep our eyes upon thee, and that we might keep our hearts and minds settled by the Word of God, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us in these last days and help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Help us not to falter and to waver, but help us to be strong. Help us to put forth the gospel that other lost sinners might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, Father, I pray that you bless our soldiers overseas there today. We know the battle's raging. We know that there, perhaps according to your will be those that will die. There'll be those that will encounter different things, and yet, Lord, your protective hand will be upon them, and you'll bring them through safe without any harm. So, Father, we totally rest our case with you, and we depend upon you this morning. We pray now that you'd be pleased to bless the Word of God to our hearts and cause us to be edified and built up in the faith and give us the strength that we need even today to live for you, Lord, and to stand for you. We're thankful for our church. thankful you placed us here years ago, Lord. And you've been so good and so gracious to us, and these people have wondrously taken to the truth of God's Word and stood for your Word through the years. And Father, it causes my heart to rejoice and know that it's of Thee, and know that You're the ones in control and in charge. And help us to have a love for each other. And help us in these last days that there would be no strife among us, but help us, Lord, to have a zeal according to the knowledge of the truth, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we'd be faithful to You right up until Your coming. Now, Father, I pray that You would guide us and direct us and lead us. Forgive me of my sin. In Christ's name I ask it all. Amen. My subject this morning is the abode of disembodied spirits. That simply means this. When people die, where do they go? That simply is what I want to preach on. Now, I was aroused, disturbed this week, and I should perhaps not have been, but I reckon the Lord was behind this. For those on the feedback program that said that there was about to be a stopping off place, ain't no such thing. Word of God don't talk about no in between. Now, when you die saved, at this present time, you go to be with the Lord. Paul makes that very plain when he writes the Corinthian church. When you die not saved, you go to a place of torment. Not a place of blessing, but a place of torment. Now, I think sometimes there is a misunderstanding, because of when you read a word in the Old Testament and you read a word in the New Testament, there's a difference in how that it is spoken of or how it is used or said, the word is, according whether it's Hebrew or whether that it is Greek. Now, I believe that there is an abode of disembodied spirits. That means that when a person dies, their body goes to a place and their soul and spirit goes to another place. And so God has so graciously given us example after example in the Word of God telling us where these places are. Now, one of the interesting verses that I read here, and I'll talk about these a little bit later, is in Ephesians chapter 4, and there in verse 8 and verse 10. Now, the Lord knows about the place where the body is placed, and He also knows about the place where the soul and the spirit go. Now, there are several Old Testament scriptures that I'd like for us to notice this morning, and one that I'd specifically like for us to turn to is in the book of Genesis, and there in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, and in verse 35. Now, this is the statement that is made here, and you'll find that it says that Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said. Now here's, and of course this was Joseph who he was talking about. For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Now at this time, Jacob believed that Joseph had been slain by a beast and that his body had been consumed. But he also believed that Joseph's spirit had gone down in to the word grave here, which means the place Sheol. It's the Hebrew word Sheol. It's not what we think about what a grave is. It's the place Sheol. Now, even if Joseph had been buried in a grave, only his body would be there. That's all that you ever place in a grave. The real person, when they die, is not placed in the grave. All that is placed in the grave is the body. And when that body is placed in that grave, his spirit is gone, or we would call it disembodied. In other words, no longer does it have a body. Now, I believe that we respect the body of a dead person. I believe that. I believe the Word of God teaches that. Even though we know that body is not that real person, is not the person that's died, it's just the old tabernacle or the old body that they dwelled in, or God placed them in while they were here upon earth. Now, it was not possible for Jacob at death to visit Joseph in the grave. You can't go visit people in the grave. What we think of is the grave. You can go to the graveyard. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can go and you can place flowers upon the grave, and you can talk all you want to, but that person ain't in that grave. They are not there. Only their body is in that grave. So it was not possible for Jacob at death to visit Joseph in the grave. But it was possible for him to visit Joseph in Sheol. And Jacob knew that. He knew that there was a place of departed spirit, and that Joseph, if he was dead, and then Jacob, when he died, that he could go visit him, or would go to the same place where Joseph went. Now, it's just like this. When we have a loved one die, and we have our funeral, and the casket's here, we know that person's not there. Biblically, we know they're gone. And we know that we're going to take them out there, and we're going to place that body in the grave. And we know from the Word of God that you can't go out there and visit them in that grave. But we know that they die and go to be with the Lord. And we know that we can, when we die, also go and be with the Lord also. Now, Jacob knew this. The psalmist, and I think this is very important, the psalmist said, and this all relates to what I'm going to give to you in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. This is the groundwork for it. But the psalmist said in the 16th psalm, and therein, verse 10 of that 16th psalm, listen to what the psalmist had to say. He said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now, Jesus didn't go to hell. Now, I know there's preachers that preach that, and there's preachers that say that. I was talking about, my dad was talking about, his pastor got confused on this and was stuck preaching that Jesus went to hell. I mean, like we refer to as a place of torment. Departed spirits in torment, and said, bless his heart, he finally said, "I got to quit. I'm confused." And it was a good thing for him to quit. It was time for him to quit when he had read something or some idea from somebody and was preaching something that's contrary to the Word of God. Now, look here. "For thou wilt not leave my soul," and the word hell here is the word Sheol. Amen. It's not hell like we think of a place of torment. But it is, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol." Now, we find here in this passage of Scripture the verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Now, we know that the body goes to the grave, but here the psalmist is talking about that his soul would go to Sheol. And then he said, "Neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One," Christ, "to see corruption." In other words, he's going to Sheol, but his spirit will not stay in Sheol, and his body will not stay in the grave. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ, what the psalmist was referring to concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So the scripture teaches us, and I believe that we see this, the psalmist said, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." This is what I read here in Psalm 16:10. Now the body of Christ was taken from the cross and placed in a grave. That's what happened when they crucified him. But he wasn't in that body. You know, it said he gave up the ghost. His soul went to Sheol or Hades and remained there until his resurrection. The Apostle Peter, in his message at Pentecost, said this in Acts 2:31. He said this: "Seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell," or that is in the Greek, that's Hades, "neither his flesh did see corruption." So, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he did as Jacob when he died. Jacob was placed in a tomb, and his soul went to Sheol. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died, his body was placed in a grave, and his soul went to Sheol, or to Hades. Hades just means unseen world. It don't mean something derogatory or bad. The Greek word Hades just means unseen world. You cannot see anymore in this world. That's what it means, the word Hades. So we see that Christ taught this truth himself. Listen to what he said in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, and there in verse 40 of that 12th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now notice what he says. "For as Jonas," that's Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly." Now there it is. "So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Not in a grave, in the heart of the earth. Which is Hades. Or is the unseen a world, or as in the Old Testament taught, would be Sheol. Paul taught this same truth. And I gave you this when I read the text there in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 9. And listen to what he said, the Apostle Paul, about this when he says here in Ephesians 4:9, "Now that he ascended." Now look. What is it but that he also descended, now look, first into the lower parts of the earth. And so we see this great truth that opens up to us. And in other words, the idea or the thought is there was a different place for Old Testament saints went to than there is now today for New Testament saints go to. The location was different, but it was the same place. The blessings carried with it the same. And we find the place that we have referred to is a place of disembodied spirit. In other words, it is a place of the unseen world. And the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, you can look it up in concordance, it'll always be Sheol, and you can look this up in concordance, the Greek word in the New Testament is Hades. Now, before the resurrection of Christ, it was the abode of all the spirits of the dead. It was where everybody went when they died. They all went down. Now there was two compartments of Hades. There was two compartments. There was two compartments of what we refer to as Sheol. One was for the wicked, which we know today and we call hell. And when we say that, we mean it's a place of torment. One was for the saved. And we find Abraham, we sometimes refer to it as Abraham's bosom. Carried by the angels, Abraham's bosom. Sometimes it's referred to as paradise. I thought about people don't know what to do with this passage of Scripture when they come to it, some don't. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Many was going to die. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to die. The thief on the cross was going to die also. And they're both going to go to the same place. Their bodies was going to remain here on earth. They were going to be transported to the place. And today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Look, go with me to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, if you will, please. And notice with me there in verse 19 down through verse 26. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. That is, his body was buried. But look, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So, the Hades, or the unseen world, had two compartments. And you could even see from one to the other. One was a place where only the saved would be. And the other one was the place of damnation, or the place of torment, or the place of wickedness, which we refer to as Hades. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, notice, between you and there's a great gulf fixed. You could see, but you couldn't go from one place to another. You couldn't change compartments. Once you've been placed in the compartment that God would have you to be in, that was your eternal destiny. Now notice. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now, there was acknowledgement or recognition here that there was, actually, that there's no hope for those that have been assigned to this compartment of Hades. Then the only hope for anybody is while they're still alive here on earth. It'll be too late for salvation when you lift up your eyes in hell, being in torment. The day is the day of salvation. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be today. Now notice, for our five brethren, that he may testify to them, let they also come to this place of torment. Now, the poor man wasn't in the place of torment. He could see, and they could see from one another. But it was in the unseen world, it was Hades. But there was two different distinct places there. One was for the righteous and one was for the wicked. Abraham said unto them, and here's always God's way. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And sometimes people think that. And there's nothing wrong with witnessing. There's nothing wrong with somebody else witnessing to somebody else. But it's going to be God's way. It's going to be at God's time. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now the two places of the unseen world were separated by a great gulf. You could see from one to the other, but you couldn't pass from one to the other. Now, what this place here in Abraham's bosom was paradise. This was the place that Jesus was talking about. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was right here. It was this place. Jesus didn't say heaven. He said paradise. Now you know and I know that to be in paradise is just as good as to be in hell. Because every one of them that died before Christ died and arose, went to paradise, are in heaven now.
Amen.
We know that. It was a place of blessing. And this ain't no stopping off place. This ain't no go-between. This is the one place, but it had to deal with people of the Old Testament being saved before Calvary. It had to be, had to do with their sins yet having not been paid for. And that is when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died for them. And so when they died, they went to Abraham's bosom or they went to paradise. Oh, that was good as gold. That was life itself. It was a blessing to die even before the Lord died, knowing Jesus Christ and believing by faith that he one day was born to die at Calvary and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then dying physically and going to be in paradise. When Christ rose from the dead, and that's what it's talking about here in Ephesians 4 and 9, 8 and 9. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, now look, he led captivity captive. Now they were captive there. They were there depending upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there waiting for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were waiting for even the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ there in paradise, because the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now here's what happened in verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He didn't go up, he went down. And he went down for a specific purpose, and that was to lead captivity captive and to take them into the very presence of God, the portals of heaven. Now, we find that when Christ rose from the dead, he entered paradise, the compartment of Hades. You can look over there and see those other folks. You can see the rich man over there. And I believe that they even could look over there and see what was going on. I believe they could even see Christ when he took all of those Old Testament saints and carried them up on high. Took them to the third heaven, the place where all the saved go today in death. Now the spirits of the unsaved in the compartment of hell remain there. I believe it's even been enlarged for those that are going there, and those that are going there at this present time. The Word of God talks about it being enlarged. All that die unsaved today go down to the same place. They'll remain there until the great white throne judgment. Hell hath enlarged itself, the Bible says. Before the death of Christ on the cross, all believers went to Abraham's bosom. There's two exceptions, Enoch and Elijah. Now, they did not go down. They went up. They were translated. Why? That they should not see death.
Amen.
Only those that died went to that place of Sheol. But Enoch and Elijah was translated. They went up. In Ephesians 4:8, who is the captivity that was led captive? It's all of those that have died in the Lord and have gone to Abraham's bosom or have gone to paradise. Where were they led from? Well, they were captive. And where were they led to? The spirit of the saints who died before Christ paid their sin debt. Who is talking about you? The psalmist says in the 86th Psalm, and there in verse 16 of that 86th Psalm, it says, oh, turn unto me. Now notice, Psalm 86 and verse 13. Now notice this. David speaks of Sheol, but look what he says about it. For great is thy mercy toward me, for thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell, or the lowest of Sheol. That is the jail, or that's the penitentiary. That's the place where their whole hell and the wicked are kept there until the great white throne judgment. And John spoke of this when he said in Revelation chapter 20 and therein, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They're there. They're held there. You know, I can't help. And I thought about so much. I can't help but think. And the reason that I think this way is there's the natural part of me or tendency that reacts to situations and thinks like other people. But then there's the spiritual man. There's the inner man. And I can't help but think about how many people this day is going down to hell. I mean, that are dying, that are being killed today, and are going down to hell. They will then be resurrected, and then they'll be cast into the lake of fire, for their worm dies not. Now, they won't be disembodied when they're cast in there either. Revelation 20, 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I thought about what I read there in Luke chapter 16 and verse 23. It says here that, now, Jesus spoke of an upper Sheol. Now look, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And I believe that he lift up his eyes, and what he seeth Abraham afar off. So there is the lower Sheol, and there is the upper Sheol. He said, in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He's looking up. He wasn't looking down. He wasn't looking across. He was looking up. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this is in Luke 23:43, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This is the same as Abraham's bosom. Now, 3 days later, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. John 20 and verse 17. He had not yet ascended to the Father in the third heaven. Where had he been? Where had he been all this time? It is clear that Jesus and the thief went down into paradise, known as Sheol in the Old Testament, and Hades in the New Testament. He descended first, Paul tells us this, into the lower parts of the earth. Then he ascended up on high, and he took paradise with him. Nobody down now but the wicked. He led captivity captive. He was the only one who could do that. Because he died for their sins at Calvary. He paid their sin debt. And he took them up. And he went to paradise. Now paradise, even though it's described in the Bible as Sheol or Hades, paradise was always like we would think of as heaven. We carry with it the same blessings as heaven, we think of. But paradise was moved by Christ to the third heaven. When the saved die today, they go directly to heaven. Now listen to these verses of Scripture. Now I know that this morning I thought about if any of us here that are saved, if we were to die during this service, we'd immediately go to heaven. Now our body would slump over here. I'd either fall down here or slump over there in the sea. Y'all would have to do something with my body. I'd have to help you do something with yours. But praise God, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't know anything about it. We wouldn't feel any pain with us. There wouldn't be any heartache. There wouldn't be any sorrow. There wouldn't be any misery at all. And I thought about this old Stephen. 7th chapter of the book of Acts. And you thought, how could under such circumstance and such a time a person have such confidence and such peace? Now look. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The Apostle Paul is another example, Philippians chapter 1. And we find there in verse 23 of Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul was speaking of such a place. And here's what that he had to say. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul speaks also in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 4, of being caught up into the third heaven. Paul speaks of the dead in Christ when he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and there in verse 14, he said this, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So when we die, we go to be with the Lord. This old body is placed here in the grave, but we ascend up, or we go to be with the Lord. The righteous dead are enjoying the pleasures of heaven at this very moment. Now everybody that's ever been saved is in heaven. And there's never been any place in between for you to stop off and get you prepared. Paradise in Abraham's bosom was not a place of preparation. It was just a place of disembodied spirit that remained there in captivity, and the Lord came there on the surety of the death of his cross, and he took them to the third heaven. Took them up. Now, conclusion, what a person believes about the unseen state has nothing to do with their salvation. Has nothing whatsoever to do with your salvation. Those that die unsaved go to torment. Those that die saved go to a state of blessing. The Sheol of the Old Testament for the saved has nothing to do with a stopping off place. Wasn't that at all? It was always a place of blessing. It was always a place where they were safe and where they were secure, and they were there on the merits of Jesus Christ. Not on any merits of himself. When Jesus went and led captivity captive, he only declared the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the difference between heaven and the difference between hell is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm thankful, aren't you, that are saved. But I can assuredly know this day to be asking the body to be present with the Lord. To die this morning is to immediately go to heaven. If you're not saved, you don't have that assurance, and you can't have that assurance until you're brought to the place to where you repent of your sins and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Isn't it a sobering thought that men, women, boys, and girls are dying and they'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell.